The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many of you have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to me, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, you most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and he went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled it and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And their eyes in the synagogue all looked intently at him, and he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. The text of today's gospel comes from the fourth chapter in the book of Luke, and it will be continued on next Sunday. Next Sunday will be the last part of this encounter that Jesus has in the synagogue at Nazareth. So allow me these few moments to reflect on the teaching value of this narrative from the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to suggest a foundation thought that should lead us through the Word of God. Hodos is a Greek word. It means the way. And in chapter 14 in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the way." And if you look at the Acts of the Apostles, the story of the conversion of Paul. We have it here in a window. He's falling off a horse, even though there's no horse mentioned in the narrative, but it dramatizes the conversion of Paul. It says Paul was going to Damascus with letters to arrest those who belonged to the new way, the Hodos. Therefore, those who were following Jesus Christ were following a way of life. It's more than a belief. Just as the Eucharist is more than a belief, the Eucharist is a way of life. Following Jesus Christ is a way of life. It's the Hodos. And that's the way the early Christians understood what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Keeping that in mind, we now look at this gospel reading. And to place it in context, the beginning of chapter 4 in Luke's gospel has Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested. And he goes through 40 days in the desert. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to reflect the people of Israel for 40 years wandering in the desert. So we have Lent for 40 days. For an extended period of time, Jesus is in the desert, and he is tested by the devil. And he confirms that his messianic identity is not attached to worldly power or recognition or prestige. He confirms a new identity, a new meaning for the power of the Messiah who was promised in the Jewish scriptures. Having finished that encounter in the desert, now he comes to Galilee. And the word says he begins to preach in their synagogues, and then he goes to Nazareth, his hometown. And he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stands up to do the reading, and they hand him the prophet Isaiah. What's interesting about this is, clearly he could read Hebrew, since it was written in Hebrew, and he could speak Aramaic, since that was the language. So he would read in Hebrew, and then he would explain the reading in Aramaic. And he proclaims this reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I am sent to bring good news to the poor." The Greek word for poor does not mean people who are poor in terms of the lack of material resources. The poor is a very broad understanding here in the Gospel of Luke. Dohos is the Greek word that's used. It means all the poor people, the neglected, the outsiders, those who are forgotten, those who are overlooked, those who are deemed unworthy. They are the poor, and he's sent to bring good news to the poor. He's not sent to bring good news to those who serve the poor, unless they are poor. The only way in which you can understand the Hodos, the way of Jesus Christ, if you are neglected, overlooked, rejected, deemed unworthy, if you fail and you struggle and you experience the love and the hospitality of Jesus Christ, only then can you minister to those who are deemed to be poor according to the Gospel of Luke. Not to just those who serve the poor. You can't serve the poor unless you yourself are poor, unless you know and belong and identify with those to whom you are sent to serve. Now look at the Gospel of Luke. The radical reality of the Gospel is that the Messianic Jesus is sent to preach good news to the poor, set prisoners free, give sight to the blind. He sent in this new and radical way, without discrimination, without checking the worthiness of the person, without the person earning it. It's free gift. It's the radical reality of the gospel. It's not restricted. It doesn't have boundaries by country, by certain people, by churches, or by communities. There are no boundaries to the manner in which Jesus announces his messianic mission. We set boundaries. The world sets boundaries. But the gospel is radical and frequently will scandalize people because it is so embracive, it's so open, it's so welcoming, it's so abundant in hospitality. Read through the Gospel of Luke. You'll find that the way of life, the Hodos, the way of life in the Gospel of Luke, I'll tell you where to find the teaching of this gospel that Jesus announces at Nazareth. Look at chapter 10 in the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is not one of the chosen people. He doesn't belong, he's an outsider. And he is the example of following the way. Read on, and you'll find in chapter 15, the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son and how he is welcomed and embraced without condition. He doesn't even tell his father he's sorry. He just turns to his father, and his father, the image of God, embraces him without condition, without demand. That's the way. Read on in the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find there, in chapter 18, the reviled tax collector, Zacchaeus, in Jericho, welcomed by Jesus. Jesus goes to his home to have a meal, which in Semitic world is a sign of recognition and acceptance and bonding. And he goes through a conversion. 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, you'll find Jesus forgives those who are crucifying him. They don't earn it. There's nothing to suggest that they even ask for it, but he blesses them with forgiveness. His mission would not be complete without forgiveness. And, of course, one of those crucified with him says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." He doesn't say you have to qualify. He doesn't ask for remorse. He blesses him with the embrace of the way. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And it comes up all the time in the most ordinary of ways in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities. The radical, scandalizing, infinite love of God extended without condition to each and every person. No boundaries, no preconditions. Turn to the Lord and experience the way. Let me give you a small example of this. In the recent past, I was called out one night. A family called me, the mother of the family, an elderly person who had advanced cancer, was dying. And as is my custom, all the family came around, I gave her the last rites, and then we all prayed. And then she said, she was very lucid, her mind was clear. She said, "Monsignor, I want only you and my husband here. I want to, just the three of us. I need to talk." Okay, so everybody was put out of the room. Only the husband and the wife who was dying and me. And then she said to her husband, "I want you to forgive you for any time I offended you. And I want to ask you to forgive me for any time I have offended you." And the husband took her hands and said, "I ask you for forgiveness for any time I have offended you. And I forgive you for any time you hurt me." And they embraced one another. That's the way. That was a holy moment that could only happen when forgiveness and understanding is given without condition, No demands. No conditions here. It's radical. Comes from deep inside a person. They made that moment holy. They brought Christ to life. They made God's love come in flesh and blood. And I remember that because it was a teaching for me. Look for moments when you are called to carry the word of God without condition, without demand. You are sent to bring good news to the poor. Who in your life, who is it who is poor and hurt or wounded or left out or forgotten or overlooked in your life? And when you listen to the word of God saying, remember when you were hurt and you were overlooked and you were neglected and you were out there feeling lost, and somebody touched you, the love of God touched you. Only then can you say you are sent to bring good news to the poor. Only then will you really understand the gospel. No judgments, no conditions. This extraordinary sense that God loves me. In all my foolishness, my limitations, my emptiness, my poverty, only then can I truly experience the word of God saying, the Spirit of God sent me to bring good news to the poor, to me, and to you. Amen.